When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoy today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our host, Dr. Tim Clinton.
I'm Dr. Tim Clinton. On behalf of my son, Zach Clinton, who is co-host and a licensed professional counselor in residence, I want to say welcome and thank you for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your day. That said, I cannot think of a better guest than my dear friend and colleague, Dr. Gary Sipsey. Dr. Sipsey is a professor of clinical psychology and the founding director of Liberty University's doctoral program in clinical psychology. He's a licensed clinical psychologist who has educated, trained, and supervised psychologists and counselors for over 20 years. Dr. Sipsey has been in clinical practice for nearly 30 years and is a governor-appointed board member to the Virginia Board of Psychology. He has a broad range of research and clinical interests, including the assessment and treatment of childhood disorders, anxiety and trauma disorders, and personality disorders. Gary writes, speaks, consults nationally and internationally. Dr. Sipsey, what a delight to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Great to be here with you, Tim, as always.
Gary, as we get started, every parent listening to our voice right now knows whether or not you're close with your kids. I can say my daughter's name, Megan, and I know how I'm doing with her. I'll say my son Zach's name, Zach. I know how I'm doing with Zach right now. Gary, it's kind of intuitive. It's kind of wired into us. God made us that way, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, and what you're talking about is this basic internal resonance that we have, and our brain actually has this resonance circuit, and it sort of gives us a read on the closeness that we have to the important people in our lives, and of course, our kids stand at the top of that list. So, you know, it's something that you hopefully have some understanding of, that you can feel it, that you kind of know what it means, and that it's a good read on how the relationship actually is.
And Gary, when that closeness is not there, there's a sense of loss. It's like something's wrong. There's a barrier between us as a parent and a child. And so, Gary, trying to figure that piece out, that's what I want to talk about today. Gary, there's so many things that compete for our connectedness, our closeness with our kids. I can think of one thing in particular. It's what we hold in our hands pretty much every day, that cell phone. It's like, put the cell phone down. or get off the internet. Gary, talk to us about, you've worked with children, adolescents, young adults, pretty much your entire life. Gary, what are you seeing? What shows up in the therapy room that really concerns you?
Well, you know, people are busy. Parents are busy. Kids are busy. I mean, nowadays, you know, parents have their schedules filled up from once the time they get home from work. Then it's oftentimes taking their kids to practices and just a whole host of things that they've got to do. And it's easy to just go on autopilot, sort of want to disconnect and sort of pull away. And obviously the digital world is one of those things that can really distract people. You know, the TikToks and the Instagrams, and everybody wants to check in on what's happening in their digital world. And they sort of ignore that interpersonal connectedness world, you know, sitting at a table, eating dinner together, interacting with each other. We have grown to a culture that's more interested in listening to the stories of people we don't really know on social media than to the people that we love and care about.
Gary, the mental health issue related to our children, I think we can all go back to COVID and the lockdowns and the loss and the loneliness that began, how schools were shut down and more. And boy, it began to spin our children. I think everybody agrees with that, that we saw a massive uptick in mental health issues, from stress and anxiety to depression to even suicidality, self-harm, and more. Gary, that really is of concern to me, and I know you. And Gary, I think it's impacted our homes a lot. What's your take on just where our kids are at? I saw that CDC report come out not long ago that said 57% of our daughters and granddaughters are struggling with hopelessness. They did this youth risk behavior survey and found that nearly 3 out of 5 teen girls, again, 57%, felt persistently sad or hopeless, highest rate in a decade, and that 30% of our daughters or our granddaughters had seriously contemplated suicide in 2021. Gary, that's not a crisis. That's an absolute disaster. And I don't hear a lot of people talking about it.
Well, and, you know, it's part of the issue is that these folks are disconnected. You know, you might think that you're connected to people if you've got a digital relationship with them. I don't know if you've ever noticed. I mean, sometimes when I'm in therapy, I'll have, you know, an adolescent begin to describe some interaction that they had with a peer or with a parent or with somebody. And they go into all this detail about it. And I ask, was this in a face-to-face interaction? And they're like, no, this happened on, you know, through a text message. And so what's happening is that we're starting to replace the closeness of the actual interpersonal interactions that our brains are actually set up for. The brain is set up to wire itself and tune itself to real face-to-face social interactions. But anyway, so this leaves them with a sense of hollowness, a sense of emptiness, where there's what we sometimes recall the fantasy bond. A fantasy bond is an imagined closeness that you have with somebody that's not actually the real deal. You want to think it is, but it's not.
Gary, a lot of people don't realize they're in trouble in their relationship with their children until something happens with their kids. They make a decision, a bad decision, or they wind up, you know, really depressed, discouraged, lost, their grades are slipping. But what are some of the telltale signs that we're getting into trouble between, say, mom and dad and the kids, especially our teenager kids?
Well, you know, obviously, as kids move into the adolescent years, they do begin to want to spend more time with their friends and have a little bit more privacy and independence. But you still are hoping and wanting to maintain just some kind of connection where you want to spend time together, doing things that aren't related to, you know, the day-to-day demands and expectations that we have for them. So, you know, if you spend the weekend going fishing or, you know, playing golf or going on hikes or spending time together in some way, and your adolescent begins to pull away from you, they want to spend most of their time in their room, door closed, and they really don't want to interact with you, then that's usually a telltale sign that something's wrong. You can usually tell that there's something wrong with their mood. And one of those things is that you know, a lot of times when adolescents are depressed or kids are depressed, they don't necessarily sob, or they're not necessarily, you know, looking depressed. They're more irritable, grumpy, grouchy, and sometimes explosive.
Gary, in the midst of it, everything starts to spin in our families. We begin to lose real connectedness, meaning we don't eat dinner together anymore. Interesting, kids who are healthy tend to have several factors that show up consistently, like, are we having dinner together? Pretty consistent throughout the week. Do I know the name of my son or daughter's school teacher? Can we get those kind of things back? How do we do that, Gary? What are some things that we should be thinking about to help bring that back home?
Well, you know, I think that part of it comes down to the basic, you know, routines that we have, sort of the basic habits that we develop as a family. And those routines create connectedness. And one of the ones that I really, really strongly encourage families to do is find time to eat dinner together, where you sit down at a table and you know, have a meal together. And in some ways, I encourage parents to get the kids to participate in this, not only in maybe the preparation of that meal, but helping to clean up after the meal. During the meal, create some expected conversation that you have. Well, one of the things that we often do is talk to parents about having a high point, low point conversation with their kids. You know, everybody goes around the table and you know, sort of talk about, well, what was your high point today and what was your low point? And, you know, try to get some elaboration on this a little bit. The parents participate as well. And this is just a way of making, you know, sort of ensuring that you have some kind of interaction about what's going on in your world that's predictable, that's expected, and that you know, you work really hard to protect that time with them.
Gary, I want to ask you about the clinical term, or this word that's going around in mental health called attunement. What does it mean to be attuned to our kids? I think a lot of parents are missing this particular piece. It's kind of like that, remember that old song, What I Like About You? You actually see and are engaged in the life of your son or daughter. A lot of parents think they are, but they're not.
Well, attunement occurs on different levels, you know. So at one level, at the most basic level, attunement has to do with, as you and I are talking, you and I are interacting with each other, the sense that we are connected through these back and forth nonverbal gestures, right? That you can read somebody's facial expressions, their eyes, are they paying attention? Are they responding? So attunement means that you're in the conversation. It's back and forth. It's two-way. And you're not just listening to what is said, but you're listening to the emotion. You're paying attention to, you know, what their facial expressions are, and you're taking note of it. You're not intrusive. You're not disengaged, but you're present. And so attunement is, in a lot of ways, being present, you know, to the extent the other person feels like you're there, that you are following them. And, you know, sometimes, you know, especially with the younger kids, parents may think that they can fool them. You know, like, you know, I can act like I'm listening, but not really be there and be thinking about something else. We really encourage parents we have them do a special time every day where they spend 15, 20 minutes with their child doing some kind of play-based activity, especially if your kid's under 10. And we talk to parents about, be sure to not let your mind think about the next thing that you have to do, or not let your mind drift to what just happened today, but stay in the moment and stay present with them, participating with them as much as you can. And then we'll talk to parents about how that went, and they're surprisingly candid about the fact that this is really hard to do. And so just keep in mind that it does take a lot of discipline and deliberate, intentional engagement to be attuned with somebody.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host. Our special guest is Dr. Gary Sibsey. He is a clinical psychologist, one of the leading authorities today in developing emotional closeness with our kids. Gary, it's been a delight to have you. As we continue, I want to stay with this 20-minute-a-day principle. We've seen it a lot in literature. A lot of people talk about this relational connectivity piece. Talk to us about, in a practical way, why this is significant and how we can get it done. Because parents are looking for ideas. They need strategies. Tell me what to do. I don't think they'll understand until we explain it what really happens in this 20 minutes. But why is it critical, and what starts happening when you connect in just that kind of a window in your everyday life with your son, with your daughter?
Well, in some ways, the way we explain it to folks is that every relationship has an emotional bank account, okay? And that emotional bank account is what allows you to engage in the day-to-day stuff that goes on in a relationship, right? It, in a lot of ways, absorbs the stress of the relationship so that when things happen, the relationship doesn't spiral out of control. So you need that emotional bank account, which is a certain amount of warmth and trust and belief that the other person cares about you and is connected to you. Now, the bank account is managed by positive experiences and negative experiences. So with a child, anytime you set a limit, anytime you have to enforce a limit or you know, deal with some kind of discipline problem, you have to see that as a withdrawal from the account. And, you know, anytime you have an opportunity to have a positive connection with your child, that's a deposit. But when the relationship starts to struggle and there's a disconnect that's going on, what usually has happened is that the account has become overdrawn. So the way that we help parents restore the account and help maintain it is through what we call special time. It's actually, think of it as banking time, because you're going to make direct deposits into that account. I often tell parents, what you want to do with your child is set up a menu of items that are on the list that they can choose from. And by menu being like, they might want to play cards, they might want to play Yahtzee, they might want to play basketball, but you can play a video game with them if it's a, you know, an interactive one especially. Then what happens is that when you play with them, you have to, as a parent, block yourself from doing things that you might normally do. For the behaviors that kind of annoy you during this period of time, you're going to try to ignore those. And so what happens is this creates a shift in the relationship where you find yourself focusing on the positive things about your child and what you really like about them, right? And they begin to experience you differently, right? And you'll see a different child. I've seen this happen time and time again where parents literally see a different child in the course of a week if they are able to do that.
Gary, we hear a lot of amazing reports from parents who are able to get this going in their relationship with their son or daughter. It's hard because people struggle with time. I don't have enough time, or what am I going to do in this relationship again, like you were saying. But Gary, when it starts happening, the strands of relational connectedness start showing up again. People start feeling like, kids start feeling like they're valued, that they're important to mom and or dad. Mom or dad, they begin to see things that are significant to their son or daughter. And you and I have talked a lot, Gary. What have you seen, Gary? Help us to really thirst after this, because it's really that important.
Well, you know, another metaphor we sometimes use is, you know, you got to think of an employer, right? If you had a good boss and you've had a bad boss. One of the things about a good boss is that they're, you know, while they have expectations, they also care about you. And whenever you do things well, they take notice. They don't just show up at your office door when something's wrong. You know, so with those type of bosses, people tend to want to do more, right? And they're more productive. Whereas if you got a boss that is only paying attention to when you make mistakes, they don't ever notice when you do things well, and your basic sense is that they, you know, they don't really like you, then what happens is people consistently underperform. So the quality of that relationship has a lot to do in a parent-child relationship. Children tend to behave when they feel connected, and when they feel loved and valued. They're not trying to they're not necessarily trying to get away with stuff. They want to stay connected to you. So if you can keep that balance in place, and you know, find that the things about your child that you actually like and they know that you like, right? So it's more than just that you like it, but that you're actually able to communicate that to them in a way that they resonate with it. Then that can go so far in turning your child's behavior around. And a lot of the sort of angry, defiant, oppositional behavior that we sometimes see in kids can disappear pretty quickly with this, where, you know, we're basically changing the relational dynamic between the parent and child. And this goes a lot further than just like behavior management, where you're, you know, giving them privileges for this and taking away privileges for that. Not that those don't have value, but they won't work if the relationship's not pretty strong.
Gary, we're fighting time here. Speak to mom and her dad. Kind of bow tie this for a moment for us. What's the big takeaway? Don't miss this point with your son or daughter.
Well, depending on where you are with them, right? So if you have a really strong relationship with your child, ask yourself, what is it that you do in your day-to-day interactions that promote that, right? And keep doing it. And realize that it may change as they grow older. You have to find new things. For parents who are struggling with their relationship, realize that you can do something to really turn this around. But it'll begin at a relational level, and that you'll have to initiate it. Your child won't be the one who does initiate it. But if you can find a space and time in your life for 15 to 20 minutes, it'd be great if it could be every day, but let's go 3 times a week. Set it up so that it's very specific time, because kids need to be able to know that it's coming. And very importantly, if you set this up with your child, they can't lose it. Okay, so you don't take this time away. If they've had a bad day, you still do the special time, right? There's so many ways that you can see how that'd be a problem if in any other relationship, but it's always there, it's always available, whether they had a good day or a bad day.
Our greatest privilege in life as a parent is to raise our children. And God has entrusted those little hands and hearts to us. And He wants to work in and through us to ultimately take them to Him. Dr. Sibsey, what a delightful conversation. Again, our special guest has been Dr. Gary Sibsey. He is the director of the clinical psychology doctoral program at Liberty University. He's also a practicing clinical psychologist, really renowned for his work in attachment theory and what it means to have meaningful relationships with God and those you love the most. Dr. Sibsey, thank you so much again for joining us. Can't wait to get you back on sometime soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center, it's just life-altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. a lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, A Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, A Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center, A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.